Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1331. The topic is Q&A and the title is What I Think of Other Gyms. So recently, my wife Meredith and I, we have been traveling. And then also there's been some life changes with her going kind of back to the office with work. And just we've had a lot of kind of change happening in the last couple of weeks. And one aspect of all of those changes is I've actually been lifting at kind of more other gyms than normal. Within the past 2 weeks, I've actually worked out of 5 different gyms, including my own. So one was mine. One was another kind of privately owned gym with an old school kind of vibe, which would be something that's kind of comparable in category to my own gym. And then the other 3 were commercial gyms, kind of like typical commercial gyms, but 2 were kind of the upscale high end, and 1 was not so upscale. So Meredith and I were talking about one of the recent gyms, the old school gym, and I went there and worked out while she was meeting a friend. So I got to do that workout at that gym, but I was the only one there. Like, she didn't join me on there. So she was asking me what I thought of it, and as I was explaining some things, she said, well, that could be a good podcast, hearing about like what a gym owner thinks of other gyms. And I was like, okay, well, let's do it. So that's today's podcast. So I wanted to look at 3 different categories, like a private old school kind of gym, the commercial high end, and then the commercial low end, and just kind of talk through experiences, what I like, what I don't like. And I don't know, maybe this is interesting, maybe it's not sure. So we'll throw this out there and just see how it goes. But as a gym owner, creating Brutal Iron Gym, I created it all myself. So it's not a franchise of any kind. I got to do whatever I wanted to do. Now, that's within the limits of money. So I didn't get to do like literally anything I wanted to do. I got to do whatever I could afford to do. So I did have financial limitations and challenges. And then also there was a challenge of I trained at the gym. When I first opened the gym, I was training 50 hours in person, like face-to-face. That was all 50 hours was face-to-face, not like the people spent, you know, half the time on a cardio equipment. So it wasn't like an hour training session where you spend 30 minutes on cardio equipment while the trainer's still finishing up 30 minutes from the previous client. This was literally face-to-face 50 hours a week. I was then writing all of their programming and nutrition, and then still trying to do the financial part of the gym, maintenance part of the gym, cleaning up the gym, and then, oh yeah, trying to go buy equipment and outfit the gym. So a little bit of work, but I got to create the gym how I wanted. And over the years, I've owned Brutal Iron Gym now for 11 years, I got to kind of overcome some of the financial things where when I first started, my approach was I only wanted good equipment in the gym. If when I opened, I could only, you know, find and afford 4 good pieces of equipment, then that's all we were going to have. I wasn't going to buy junk just to fill the space. Hell no. No. I am not going to have some piece of crap equipment that doesn't actually kind of work the way we want just to say that I have it. You know, so if I couldn't find the right leg extension, I wasn't just going to buy a piece of crap off Craigslist, set it in there just to say I had one. We live in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is just underneath Charlotte, North Carolina. I drove to Atlanta, Georgia, 3 hours or something like that, to find the leg extension that I wanted. It's a Strive plate-loaded leg extension, because that's exactly the one I wanted. I drove to a different part of Georgia at a different time to find Flex Leverage seated hamstring curl. If you've ever tried that one, then you know that's the best one. Hands down, no argument whatsoever. Flex Leverage seated hamstring curl. I got a gym up in Charlotte. I bought some equipment from them. I bought a Nebula leg press, a Nebula hack squat, a Cybex lying leg curl that had adjustments for limiting range of motion for both extension and contraction, which was great for rehab clients with different knee injuries. Like one of the reasons, for example, why I drove the Strive Straight plate-loaded leg extension was the seat angle puts your hip and your knee joint at the exact same height horizontally, so the leg extension doesn't overload your knees and make it feel like your patella tendon, like your kneecap tendon, is going to snap off when you do heavy leg extensions. So there was very specific things. I mean, I drove up to New York, up to Washington, D.C. to get equipment, Baltimore to get equipment, drove out to West Virginia to get equipment. So I have what in my mind is the best equipment per piece. And then my dad is amazing at welding, so we actually welded up and made our own belt squat. And by we, I mean he did. So I just told him how I wanted it, and then he made it work. We also made our own bench press. We have a reverse band capable bench press with like self-spotting system and a whole bunch of other additions that are badass. So my dad has helped me modify a lot of equipment and or make the equipment. We actually have over 90 modifications. So we bought, for example, an assisted pull-up and dip machine, but I didn't like the fixed handles on it, so we cut the handles off. We redid the entire framework of the top part of the machine so we could attach a Sorinex adjustable pull-up handles so they can be adjusted width-wise to any width, and they can rotate it to any angle you want. And we also then reinforced the dip handles so my fat butt at 280 pounds could be on the dip handles and not bend them. So we modify a lot of equipment, but then also I was able to go piece out very good individual things. And then the company I did buy equipment from was Sorinex down here in South Carolina. In my mind, Sorinex, especially because when I opened the gym in 2011, they were the only company that was allowed the holes on all four sides of the posts. They had kind of like a patent on that. And you see Rogue do that now with like their basic holes and their keyholes. And then a lot of other companies like Rep Fitness now have that. But for a long time, Sorinex was the only one who had 1-inch holes spaced out throughout their rack uprights, which means you could basically configure the racks to any way you wanted, which I really loved for clients because in one rack, we could do push-pull legs all in one location. So it was very cool, and I was very, very blessed to be able to start the way I started and to slowly piece together everything. So Brutal Iron Gym is what I want a gym to be. It took forever, and there's still things I would love to like modify and update and whatever, but I'm also blessed in some ways that it's only 3,500 square feet, because otherwise I'd have spent all of my money and never paid back anything, like loan-wise, because I'd have just been kept buying equipment if there was more room to fill. So now I'm in the place where I have to be very picky about what I have, because anything I bring in, I have to take something out. So it's allowed me to refine my machine choice and exercise equipment availability. You know, we have a lot of specialty bars because since I can't fit a lot of machines into the gym, being only 3,500 square feet, I want to have a lot of specialty barbells. We have different type of camber bars. We have a Duffalo bar. We have a trap bar. We have a safety squat bar. We have a football bar. We have a thick bars, fat bars, log bars. We have a bar that my dad and I made that has springs on it, so you can do a horizontal contraction along with kind of contraction against gravity. We have a bunch of stuff, and I guarantee I'm missing things. We have all the specialty bars for powerlifting, like squat bar, deadlift bar, regular power bars. We have power bars from three different companies because I wanted to experience it and know what it feels like. We have a Mars bar. So, I mean, golly, everything. And the idea of that, the goal of that was to just allow for more exercise availability, even if we couldn't add equipment. You know, adding in a bar, like 10 different bars, doesn't take up a lot of room if you use them on a squat rack as opposed to taking up like room for 10 different machines. So there was a lot of things I got to do with my gym. And like, for example, our gym, the plates have a place they belong all the time. There's always only one size plate on one peg. So on any one peg, you don't find like a 10-pound plate, then a 45-pound plate, then a 5-pound plate. There's not going to be like six 45-pound plates on one side of the machine and zero on the other. None of that crap. Our members are amazing, and they put everything away for the most part, you know, outside of normal human mistakes. So it's awesome to have an environment that I believe encourages the best workouts, but then also the people that help support that environment as well. So, little background about our gym, but the most comparable one was the most recent one was the private old school gym that I went to. And some of the good things I did like about it, like, and when I go into a gym, what do I look at is equipment, because that's going to be what helps me get move forward, you know. So if I want the best results, I have to have the equipment that's best for my goals. That does not mean that it's all like brand new equipment. Some companies make absolute trash equipment. Trash. Now, there's also a general rule that if you're a gym owner or if you've been around gyms for a long time, you understand what I mean by this, is no one company makes a good everything. Somehow, in research and design departments, companies lose their shit when they make one or two of their machines. They'll have, you know, an amazing leg press, amazing leg extension, amazing leg curl, but then their lat pull down is just garbage. And you're like, who the hell sat on this and thought this was a good idea? It just happens. I don't know why. There are some companies that got really freaking close. Nebula is one of my favorites. Strive I really like, but their pull down is trash in my opinion. So there's some companies that have really good equipment. Then there's some companies that have absolute trash equipment, but there's no one company that has the best of everything. So when I go into gyms, I really like to see a variety of equipment brands, whether that's an old school gym like the one I went to or like mine, where, you know, you have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus companies that you'll see represented in the equipment, or like some of the commercial gyms, you might see, okay, there's, you know, Life Fitness, there's Precor, and maybe a couple like Cybex pieces. And you're like, okay, well, that's at least a little bit of a blend. So if I don't like the Precor back row, maybe I like the Cybex back row. You know, and you can kind of play around with that and at least find some different varieties. But it is good when I see multiple companies represented within the equipment. That usually leads to the equipment feeling the best. And it's not usually pretty, because it usually means they're different colors, but it's more about comfortableness of movement. You have a better mind-muscle connection in a machine that moves with you rather than moves awkwardly. You also have just less collateral damage. So when you have a machine that moves correctly, you don't irritate joints, and that's very important. And you also have a better overall flow and feel for the workout. So if you're not having to kind of fight with the positioning of a machine, you can just focus on what you're doing, and then you can kind of flow through the workouts, and it creates like a better overall feel for the workout. So that private old school gym, they did have a ton of variety of equipment, which was great. And I'll get to the downsides here in a second, but one of the downsides was is not all the equipment was good. Some of it was trash, and I'll explain that more in a second. But another good thing about the gym was damn near everyone was in good shape, which is very rare. You don't usually see that. But almost everybody was in good shape. The technique that everybody had was actually really excellent, and that was surprising to see. And they were all very interactive with each other. So it would definitely be an intimidating membership base, since they were all in good shape. So if you felt self-conscious about the way that you look and you think maybe people are judging you, and even if they're not, you just feel that way, it would have been a very rough environment. And I can understand that, but these type of environments actually motivate me. When I first started lifting weights, I was very weak. I was skinny and fat at the same time. I looked, in my opinion, like I never touched weight in my life, and that was even 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years into lifting. I still look like I never lifted weights. But I always found those environments very motivating. It always fired me up to see what people could achieve with their bodies and to know that possibly I could do the same thing. And I was like, well, hell, if they can look good, I can look good. You know, if they could do it, why can't I? And that always kind of fired me up. And if I was around that, I always felt like I was fueled by it. So there's the quote, you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Well, if I spend more time with, you know, people who are in shape, I'm going to be more likely to be in shape. I don't want to put myself in a lesser environment so I feel comfortable. I want to put myself in an environment that promotes me to improve and continue to change, continue to better myself. So I always loved environments when I would walk in and there are people just looking better than me, lifting better than me. And I was just like, this is it. This is where I need to be so I can get this, so I can improve, so I can reach my goals. I always felt kind of fired up by that. Now, one other thing that was neat was they all had pretty good technique. So if you're somebody who liked to just kind of watch and learn, that would have been a great membership base to learn from, because a lot of them really did have good technique. And that was kind of neat to see, because that's very rare. And it was also neat that they were interactive. So they would be intimidating based on their looks and the intensity in which they were lifting. They were all lifting very intense. But they, with everybody, they were chatty. And like if you had to walk past them, like they were nice and they would kind of move or they would adjust for you and they'd understand that you had to walk past, if they had to walk past as well sometime. It was very, everybody was very approachable if you could overcome your own perceptions of kind of intimidation. So that was a lot of the good stuff. Some of the not good stuff. The music was stupid loud. Flat out, just absolutely stupid. And when I run into like things that aren't good in gyms, I always get fired up because I'm like, where's the owner? You know, blah, 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 blah. Because I would do this and I would change that, blah, blah, blah. But it did surprise me the owner didn't change that, because that music was so insanely stupidly loud. I had my headphones in and couldn't play music, because if for me to play any music that would have drowned out that music, it would have had to have been full blast, and I don't even think it would have worked, and my ears would have just been ticked off, because it would have just been way too loud. So I put earplugs in, and it was still louder than what I would normally have listened to my own music. That's nuts. And it was rap. Good God. Rap is horrible. Horrible. I will not get on my soapbox anymore, even though I'm tiptoeing on it. But I can't stand rap, especially for like public environments. Rap is just incredibly horrible music. And this is not like the good, fun, old school rap from like the 80s or something, but like trash, crap rap where everything's just derogatory and just the worst aspects of human beings ever, and it's put to music and celebrated. It's just frustrating. So that was a big thing I didn't like, as you can tell. I also didn't like that not all the equipment was good. Some of it was junk. Like the pins were bent, the machines were bent, one of the seats like swiveled, so you had to like adjust it if it started moving in the middle of your set. It was just, you know, some of it was old school, like in a good way, and some of it was just old. So that was not good. They needed to get rid of the pieces of crap and like open their layout out, which was another aspect that wasn't good, was everything was so jammed in that you had to like tiptoe around things and you'd bump into things trying to adjust another thing. You know, I tried to adjust an ankle plate for a kneeling leg curl, and I had to lean against a wall around this like step up platform in order to adjust the piece every single set. I'm like, this is just dumb. And not all the pieces of equipment were in the similar areas. So you had like two hamstrings in one area, two hamstring machines in one area. Then you had to go almost all the way across the gym for a different hamstring. And then the leg extension was in a third quarter of the gym. So it was just like poor, poor, poor layout. Like for example, the sled area, the area that you would push and pull a sled, was literally on the edge of squat racks. So as soon as you would squat, you'd rack the bar and you'd step back. You'd be in the sled pushing area, which was also the only walkway to get back to the area that had a different part, like with leg machines. So the sled, if you were trying to push and pull a sled, everyone would be in your way at all times. And if you were trying to get out of a squat rack, you always had to watch and see if you're going to get clipped by a sled. So it was just horrible layout. Not good. Now, overall, it was a good gym because it had kind of what mattered most was good equipment, in the sense of which pieces were good, which weren't broken were good. And the environment was very conducive for great workouts and great support. So out of all the places I trained, this would be the one that I would choose out of the group. Now, go to the next one, which was a commercial, like high-end, so fancy pants kind of gym. The good part of that was there's very good equipment variety. There's way more equipment than any of the other gyms. Unfortunately, there's way too much equipment taking up kind of the overall space. This is not a lie or exaggeration. There's over 100 pieces of cardio equipment, and there might be like maybe 100 pieces of total gym equipment. And that's divided by all the body parts and squat racks and everything. So a horrendous kind of distribution there. And it's completely unnecessary because all the cardio things aren't even full. So that was just misallocation of money. But I do understand that when you run a commercial gym for the public and you want high-end, you know, clientele, the clientele is going to think that they need to do cardio to lose weight, not lift weights with machines. So I understand why they bought all the cardio, because that's what people think they need, and it just sucks, because then you don't have more of what you actually do need. So like in my gym, we don't even have cardio equipment. When I first opened, I did have two treadmills and two step mills, because I was like kind of newer known to the area, and I needed people to join so I could then teach them how to eat better and work out with appropriate rest periods, and then realize that they didn't even need to do cardio very much. So I've helped people earn pro cards in aesthetic sports, and they never did any cardio whatsoever. The most cardio I've ever had any client do that got a pro card was 20 minutes at one time. Yep, you heard that right. The most cardio I have ever had a client do that earned a pro card, and this is like IFBB Pro, was 20 minutes at one time. Cardio is not necessary. It's helpful in certain ways, and it's needed at certain times. But in no way whatsoever is it the main driver of fat loss. Not even ridiculously close. So we have a Concept 2 rower. We have a ski erg, and that's it for machines. We have sleds. We have tires. So we have other things we can do cardio with, but we don't own a treadmill in Brutal Iron Gym. There's no step mill in Brutal Iron Gym. There's no elliptical. There's no bike. Nothing. Because you don't freaking need it. So to see a gym that has 100 and some pieces of cardio equipment is just stupid, and it's sad, because they could have used all of that money for such better things. Ugh. But it was good that they have a lot of kind of variety of equipment. They also have really cool amenities like pool, Wi-Fi, cafe, big bathrooms with lockers, and they didn't have the freaking loud music, which was nice. So those were kind of the good things. The not so good things is the people. Good God. Way too many people, and none of them did a damn thing that was significant. So everybody was in my way. And nobody was doing anything productive while they were in my way. So very frustrating. There were, like, somebody would get on a piece of equipment, and you'd see them do a set of 10 reps at, like, the lightest weight on the machine. They'd sit there for 2 minutes, do another set of 10, and then move to the next machine right next to it. They'd have no clue why they're doing what they're doing. And none of it was productive. They were just in the way for anybody trying to be productive. But unfortunately, that was damn near everyone. So it was horrible, just motivational feel being around people like that, and horrible because you could only do one machine at a time. You couldn't superset anything or put two machines back to back. It was just frustrating environment to try to train in, frustrating people to be around, because no one's doing anything productive. They look like they're all miserable, or they're just off. Sad, because if they're there to actually try to make progress, they are not in any way whatsoever. There's just so much lack of education that it's sad and frustrating. Now, the other thing was the overall feel of the gym doesn't promote great workouts. So the equipment isn't organized to matching body parts or a reasonable flow. It was just put together by brand. So here's all the Precor, here's all the Life Fitness, here's all the Cybex. And it's like, yeah, but you have like an ab machine next to a bicep machine, which is next to your leg press, which is next to a chest machine, which is then next to another like leg machine, then you have four back machines in a row, then you have this thing over there. Like, none of it makes any damn sense to have it structured that way. It doesn't even make sense if person like was to do a circuit where, well, maybe it's one back, one chest, one shoulders. Nope, you would like to think that, but no. So the layout just doesn't make any damn sense, other than, okay, here's all the equipment from this brand, here's all the equipment from that brand, we'll just put them in sections. Okay, but that's not how, that's what the best way to use them. That might be the most organized visually way to present them, but it's not the best way to use them. And then not all equipment is always available. You know, so in this gym, they had seven squat racks. Six were in this one area and one was off, like, next to some of the other machines. Well, the one day from 8 a.m. to noon, six of the seven squat racks were reserved for these like barbell classes. And only at one point in time, the most racks that were being used out of the six were three. The majority of the time, only one or two racks were being used, but no one else could use those. So it left that only one rack was used, like able to, for everyone to use. And then literally everyone tried to use it. No one knew what the hell they were doing. A lot of quarter squats, a lot of people just standing around bullshit with friends, you know, for 7 minutes in between a half-ass set of a half-ass effort. So just insanely frustrating and very demotivating. What I felt like taking away from this, this commercial gym, like high-end commercial gyms and low-end commercial gyms, is just sadness. I feel sad for people that this is the only way of working out that they know. That this is the only gym environment that they know is a commercial gym. That is so damn sad. No wonder you don't like to train. It is trash environment. Horrible motivation. Ugh, garbage. I feel very sad for people if commercial gyms is the only thing they have, which is probably the majority of the listeners. It's just, it's very, very frustrating. It's very demotivating. So I'm sorry for you. Overall, though, this is the one I ended up joining. So after saying all of that, I did join this gym. I know I own a gym, so like, why the hell would I join a gym? This gym is about 40 minutes away, well, 40, 45 minutes away from my gym, which is actually where Meredith works. So Meredith has about a 45-minute commute. And some days I like to share the commute with her. It helps lower her stress if I drive through the morning traffic and I can drive her at home. So on the way there, she doesn't, you know, build up a lot of stress by the time she gets there, so I can drive. We still chit-chat and try to have, like, you know, fun conversation. And then on the way home, she can kind of tell me all about work and kind of deload about work, and then doesn't have to deal with trying to drive through traffic. And then by the time we're home, that's all processed and we get to enjoy the evening together. So I do like sharing the commute with her because it allows those benefits and it just allows us to spend more time. And I'm very blessed right now that I do a lot of my work with online clients. So I actually have clients in five different countries now, which is cool. I've started tracking that. Just fun to know. So clients in the UK, France, Spain, Costa Rica, United States, actually have client, six, I have client in Australia. So really cool, fun. I love it. So since a lot of my work is remote, you know, I can go, like when I drop off Meredith, this gym is 6 minutes from her gym. I mean, from her work. So I just go there. I get a workout in the morning and then I do work in the cafe, with the free Wi-Fi and then just pick her up after work, and we get to share the ride home. This one also has the pool. So on the weekends, Meredith and I can go sit at the pool, which is her number one favorite thing ever. Her favorite thing is water. She loves being by water, around water. She grew up on a house on a lake. So we love going and sitting at the pool, and this one has the pool. So we can leave work some days. You know, if she's had a stressful day or she just wants to, we can leave work. I can go pick her up, drive her there, and in like 15 minutes she's in a bathing suit sitting next to the pool soaking in the sun. So huge blessings, very, very, very big blessing in our life to have the opportunity to do these things to take care of her mental health by being able to share the commute, by being able to get to a pool, which, since she loves water, very blessed in life that is possible for us at this moment. So very grateful. Now, the commercial gym, like low end, and what I mean by that is it's, you know, like $30 a month. The equipment kind of sucks. but it's something. It's better than doing bodyweight workouts outside in the sun. That's pretty much it. What's not good about it? Pretty much all of it. The equipment isn't really that great. Everybody's in your way. No one knows what the hell they're doing. You got arrogant, cocky people walking around. You have people talking for 17 minutes on one piece of equipment. It's just absolutely horrible. But I do that at times when I need to. But again, it's no wonder people don't like to work out or exercise if that's what they think working out and exercise is. It's just sad. Overall, what I look for in a gym is trying to find a gym that has good equipment. It does not mean that it's the newest. It just means it feels good when I get into it and it does what I want it to do. It annoys what I want it to annoy. It doesn't annoy what I don't want it to annoy. In a sense to where, you know, if I get in a bicep curl machine and I can feel my biceps very well, but I don't have some metal piece digging into my wrist where I'm not fixed into some narrow width grip that kind of frustrates my wrists or my elbow joints. Like, it's just the machine kind of flows with you, if that makes sense. That's what you want to find, is equipment that flows with you. The other thing is an environment. A layout that makes sense. So like in my gym, and I know I'm going to compare everything kind of as a default to my gym being the better gym because I created it and this is my viewpoint of what a good gym is. So of course I'm going to make my gym the good gym. But, you know, our leg equipment is with the leg equipment. Our back equipment is with the back equipment. Our chest is with the chest, you know. We have free weights in their own sections. Plenty enough room for free weights. Like, we have a full set of dumbbells, but also the space for you to be able to use the dumbbells. You know, you go to some commercial gyms, they have two sets of dumbbells, 5 to 100 pounds, but they have three benches. It's like, you dumbasses, you're gonna need more than a 10x10 area for people to use all those dumbbells. You're gonna need a hell of a lot more than three benches. So what the hell, you know? The one gym, you see people in the dumbbell area, but then they also have dumbbells out between machines, and it's just like the overflow of the dumbbell area is stupid. So just the layout is horrendous. And then just an environment that is supportive of great workouts, you know, to where it just has a vibe that you can get lost in your training. You can be intense, not a jackass where you're just screaming. Don't scream in a gym. For love of God, don't scream in a gym. But you can feel like you can work out and it's okay to sweat. It's okay to grunt a little bit or make a noise here or there. You can superset tour machines back and forth and people understand what that means. You know, other people are motivated. Other people are being, you know, purposeful in what they're doing. They're not sitting around bullshitting, doing nothing for 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know, holding you back. So it is interesting when looking at a gym as a gym owner, there are things I noticed. Like the one gym I went to, this lady, small little lady, she took this big roll of paper towel and a spray bottle everywhere she went, and she would spray and wipe down a machine before she used it. She would spray and wipe down a machine after she used it, but she used like a wad of paper towel that was ridiculous. And my initial thought was just like, oh my God, that lady's costing them so much money in paper products and spray. Now, spray, you say, what does that matter? Well, the cleaning solution isn't always cheap. You do dilute the cleaning solution, but it still adds up. And then rolls of paper towels are not free, so that adds up. So I was just laughing. I'm like, here's this little old lady. Probably they spend her entire membership fee, like that they would, like the gym would be earning. The gym probably spends it on freaking paper towels. So I just felt bad for them on that. You know, so it's just, it's interesting when you own a gym, you do have more appreciation of things, in the sense that, in our gym, I know the cost of every single thing because I bought it. So when I see people, you know, put something back in a manner in which it can damage the equipment, very frustrating. And it's, I'm very aware that the equipment can be damaged in that position because I bought it. Since that person didn't buy it, they don't notice it as much. And that's just human nature. There's not much you can do about that. It's just people tend not to treat things very well if they're not the one who had to pay for them. And unfortunately, that's just the way the world is. So, you know, when you hear stories, or at least I hear stories at 38 years old of when people were younger, you know, oh, you treat people's, you know, other people's things better than your own. That doesn't always seem to be the case nowadays. So there are things you'll notice as a gym owner versus a gym user. And it doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just the way it is, you know. So if I went over to somebody's house, you know, I might forgetfully not put a, you know, a coaster under my drink as I put a drink on what looks like an old beat up coffee table. But to somebody else, that's the coffee table their grandfather built with their bare hands. And you better damn well use a coaster when you use that table. So it's just perspective. And it's being aware of that, I think, helps a lot as well. But hopefully this was kind of interesting. I don't know. It was just kind of neat to go to different gyms, see the pros and cons, different experiences. I think it's probably funny to hear that the gym I joined was not the gym that I would have liked the most. It's just what is convenient and what has more conveniences. So it's interesting is when you're trying to pick the best gym for yourself, you do have to do it for what you value. Do you value the gym being on the way home, so you don't have to go out of your way to go to it? If you know, okay, every time I drive home from work, I'm passing the gym. I can see it. It's right there. Well, that lowers your willingness to accept the fact you couldn't work out that day. You're just going to feel like a bum because you're going to be like, I can freaking see it. I know I can get there. I can see it. Whereas if the gym's an extra 15, 20 minutes away, you know, out of the way, you might, you know, talk yourself out of that more often. Well, if that's something that's important to you, then it's okay to account for that. That's okay. You don't have to pick a gym based on anybody else's rules. You pick a gym based on what's best for you. You know, when I was going through college, I had more free time, which is funny because at the time I didn't think I did, but looking at it now I did. But I would travel an hour to a gym, a one-way commute hour, one-way drive to an hour to a gym if I thought it had the best equipment and the best environment. That's just what I valued. So I would drive an hour to the gym. I'd work out for probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, drive an hour home. It'd be 4 hours out of my day. But I would schedule everything around it to make that happen. That was normal to me. That was reasonable to me. How unreasonable and weird does that sound? But it was reasonable to me to say, I want to be my best. I want to have the best equipment. I want to have the best environment so I can be my best. And I would do that. But that's me. I had to do what was best for me. You have to do what's best for you. So find a gym that fits what you need. If you're not sure, try a couple of gyms. Do a couple of day passes. You know, it's less than probably a cost of a date. Like the one kind of private gym, the old school gym, was just a $10 day pass. Pay $10. You know, stay for 2 hours. Try out the machines. Check out the environment. You know, $10 is a good investment to learn and see what you'd like or don't like about a gym. Maybe another gym is $20-$30. Meredith and I had to pay $40 a piece. We had to pay $40 a piece to get into another gym. And it was still neat and fun. We like working out when we're on vacation. We just don't do mentally well if we feel like we don't get to take care of ourselves while trying to balance taking care of everybody else. So it was worth it to us to pay $80 to just go work out one day. That sounds completely insane to everyone, I'm sure. But to her and I, you know, we walk in and they're like, it'll be $40 a piece. I look at her and I'm like, you good? She's like, you good? And we're like, yeah, okay, boom. You know, so I'm very blessed that she loves this as much as I do. You know, she's been a CrossFit instructor. She's competed in women's physique and won. So she understands all this stuff and she loves it just as much as I do. So we don't think anything of spending $80 to go work out for 2 hours and maybe go sit at the pool or sit at the sauna or just, you know, sit at the cafe and relax for a bit. Whereas, you know, other people might think that's completely insane, but yet they'll pay $80 to go eat dinner. So it's really just perspective. So when it comes to kind of finding the right gym, it's finding the gym that fits what you need it to do. And that should not have anything factored into what I think or what anybody else thinks about what is a gym, best gym for you. Just pick what's best for you, you know, and use it and enjoy it and become your best through it. Okay, well, hopefully this was helpful. If you have any questions about like making a gym at home or help with trying to find a good gym, I'm always available. So you can always shoot me a question at email@brutalirongym@gmail.com. Awesome. Well, I hope this was helpful. Hopefully it was entertaining in some way. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, like I said, or any follow-ups or any thoughts, just email me at brewlironjim@gmail.com. If you like our podcast or our podcast in general, please share the podcast. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. And that's the whole goal of the podcast. So thank you. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. You can sign up to do small monthly donations, or you can do a one-time donation on our Instagram homepage. We have a link there as well. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so I really appreciate the financial support so we can keep doing this every single day and keep it for free. So thank you very much. Also, if you like the information we share on our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Jim. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brewlironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.